Oh, hey, it's the Great Debates.
Oh, hey.
Yes.
Hey, guys, I'm just going to cut right to the chase here. We've got a special guest in the room. Mina Kimes is back. Mina's a senior writer for ESPN the magazine and a panelist on Around the Horn. She joined us last year right before the Super Bowl, and she's back to talk about the Super Bowl again.
I requested to be back, specifically.
We're very glad to have you. Thanks for coming. Happier.
We're ready to be demolished by you again. It was a great pleasure to be defeated by you. No, for real. Great to have you here. Let's talk sports.
You're pretty close to a professional debater.
That's right.
Right. So when we did this last, I had yet to become a professional hot taker for a living. Since then, I have started doing that regularly, and I was on ESPN's First Take, perhaps the world's most preeminent debate show.
I believe Guinness gave them the world record for a show with the hottest takes.
Don't confuse that with ESPN's other show, Worst Take, which is where people say their worst take.
I'd watch that.
Yeah. Well, it's every host gets fired every week.
Oh, right. That's the problem. Well, what are we doing? Let's get into these takes.
Mina, you know better than this.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to get us right into a micro. I'm going to have Healy take the pro and Mina take the con. Okay, I'm going to put 4 minutes on the clock, guys. This is a fun one. The topic up for debate, Gronk's wedding will be beautiful.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. We're talking about Rob Gronkowski of the New England Patriots. What is the Patriots' credo? What is their philosophy? Do your job. Do your job. Right. What is the job of a groom at a wedding? Basically just to show up and to go along with what the bride wants. Now, Gronk is a very traditional, masculine kind of dude. He's going to have a pretty organized wife who loves a big, beautiful wedding. She's going to put together something beautiful. There's going to be amazing flowers. Money's going to be no object. He's going to invite his bros. The love he'll have for his bros will be beautiful. And the sort of layout organization of the wedding, I assume he will delegate to his wife, and we will see a very beautiful wedding.
So your entire premise rests on the idea that Rob Gronkowski is marrying a woman of taste.
Well,
you're right. I think that he's going to defer all responsibilities to her. Yeah. That's absolutely correct. Yeah. But have you seen the women that Rob Gronkowski has dated in the past?
Dating is one thing, but when he puts a ring on it, he's going to be serious about it.
What evidence do you have that he is drawn to women with any aesthetic discretion or, you know, that are in fashion or interested in these kinds of things?
I think in Rob Gronkowski, we see a guy who's kind of like Shakespeare's Henry IV. You know, Henry V. He's in the stage of partying with Falstaff and being crazy. But when it becomes time to man up and get married, he's going to make the right kind of choice. This is a guy who's, you know, for all his wildness, he shows up on game day and delivers. And that's what will happen at his wedding. He will show up and deliver a beautiful wedding.
I literally just saw him laugh at a 69 joke on television last week.
Okay. Even if the sort
just
of,
like Henry V.
Even if there's some tackiness to the accoutrements and the external factors of the wedding, just the love and the bro-down-itude he's going to have with his brothers and his dad and his groomsmen, that itself will be beautiful. So even if they have this wedding at Applebee's, it's going to be emotionally a beautiful wedding.
Well, then you're arguing that a wedding at Applebee's would be a beautiful wedding, which I just dispute on its face.
Gronk's wedding at
discussion
Gronk's
here.
Wedding at Applebee's. Because the brotherhood and the love that'll be there will be incredible. Like this, you see the love Gronk has for his teammates. You see the love he has for his brothers and for his bros. He's all about that bro-ing down. And that will be reflected in the beauty of his wedding, in the toasts, in the...
His tagline is Yo Soy Fiesta. I don't even
know. That could be the theme. Could be a Mexican themed wedding.
Yes.
Yo Soy married.
I mean, it will be a fun wedding. He could totally be in love, but the question was, will it be a beautiful wedding? And I just simply believe that we have no evidence to think that's possible.
Where do you think it's going to be? Like, walk me through what your nightmare scenario of Gronk's wedding.
Nightmare scenario. I mean, the most realistic scenario for the wedding is that it's going to be on a beach, right?
Yeah, it'll definitely be on
a beach.
Okay, so right there, like,
shirts and shoes optional.
We'll have a wedding planner. It'll be a nice barefoot, you know, Mexican beachy kind of thing, or Florida, whatever. a beautiful place. A lot of food. So we're starting there. Tons of food.
I would go to this wedding. I just don't think it would be beautiful.
I don't know. I'm not hearing a lot of arguments. I mean, I think it's going to be the emotions expressed will be beautiful. I'm hoping for the best from Gronk, and I see that little spark in him that makes me think he's going to make the right choice when it's time to get married. I think.
Well, one would think that the right choice in a bride would be someone compatible with him. And do you think Gronk? Rob Gronkowski would be compatible with the kind of woman who would put together a beautiful wedding.
I think my experience of dudes like Gronk, and I've never known anyone quite on the level of Gronk, but I think those dudes often choose kind of sweetheart, kind, like well-meaning women who take care of this beast. That's part of the beauty of their life and their
believe his
matrimonial
current
role.
Girlfriend, not that this type of woman isn't capable of throwing a beautiful wedding. I do believe it is a Playboy model.
Well, I think I'm going to go with the con. And here's the thing.
Sure.
The fourth minute almost cost you there, Mina, because Healy started to drag you into the details of the beach.
It sounded fun the way he was describing it. That's what,
no one's denying it's going to be fun. By the way, has anyone seen Rob Gronkowski's stand-up special?
No.
He has a stand-up special. I believe I can play a little audio from it if anyone's interested.
You have a drop for us?
We're not going to like it.
Okay, great.
Play it.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. No.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I caught a little bit of his stand-up special, and he's talking about being in the club.
Oh, here comes Miss Wasted Loud Mouth. Oh, Rob, suck my titties. Suck my titties. I'm your biggest fan. You know something? Time to call that audible and get the fuck out of here and leave. Oh shit, there's a chick that already banged my teammate and has a kid with him. Oh, time to run that option, getting the fuck out.
The joke there is how his football skills, sometimes he needs them in the club. Running option.
But it's the same thing each. He uses the audible and option quote unquote joke.
I for would the same say purpose. He's about as good at stand up as you are probably at football.
Okay.
Oh, he's better at stand-up than I am at football.
Yeah, okay. So
just by the mere fact that he's gotten up on stage and
he did it.
He tried it. He's got presence. He's got something. He has a voice.
Are we in host chat? What do we think?
Oh yeah.
We're in host chat for sure.
We're at the early stages of host chat.
Mina, you've put a Super Bowl prediction on record. Is that right?
Yeah, you asked me for what my prediction was, and I said, well, I think I had to do one earlier, and I believe, and this might be wrong, I predicted Patriots 27, Eagles 24.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. I hate that.
It's very conventional. Super conventional pick.
I love that number. I think it's probably right, but I hate that that's the way it's going to go down.
Mm.
Look at Dave.
I mean,
look at the look on his face.
I think it's, look, I'm a Patriots fan. Healy's a Patriots fan, right?
Yeah.
You know,
but I think we can all recognize that the right thing for America is for the Eagles to win.
I'm not so sure.
Do you want to get into this?
That's interesting.
Is it good for America?
Is it good for America?
Spontaneous Eagles
spontaneous. That's great. That's great. Let's go.
I feel the tension simmering.
No, you're right.
Between tension.
Who's going to take the pro on this?
Clearly, it's good for America if the Eagles win.
Right.
This is very obvious. Dan, like the look on your face. Are we rolling here?
Yeah, go ahead.
I only have a one word argument, and that's Trump.
Interesting. So, here's what I'll say is that, like, the reason people want the Patriots to lose is because they're a dynasty. Yes, they have some people on the team who are sympathetic to Trump.
Owner,
I don't know,
coach,
like, the owner and the
quarterback.
Coach. The quarterback might
just those
be.
Three.
He also might be sympathetic to whoever the Democratic frontrunner is in 2020. We don't know yet. as might Robert Kraft. We don't know. I don't know what the Eagles ownership is like. Who's the owner?
Lurie. I believe he's a Democrat.
Okay. My guess is that that's great. My guess is that, like, many of the people who play for the Eagles are Republicans, just as many of the people who play for the Patriots happen to be Democrats or are apolitical or what have you. Outside of politics, I think people want the Patriots to lose because they're not because of their political stances or whatever, but because they've won so many times. And the problem is, when you actually beat them, it takes the fun out of it. People want there to be a Goliath. We want the Yankees to be good. We want dynasties. We secretly need something to root against. And if the Patriots lost 50-3, or even if they lost like three Super Bowls in a row, or put it this way, if they didn't even make the Super Bowl, it would be a letdown in some way. America needs the Patriots more than the Patriots needs America. It would be bad for America if the Patriots lose, because we can't live without that big bad team to root against. It's good for us.
So you think they should just win forever? By that logic, I'm fine with that. They should never lose, and America should live in a constant state of pain at having to deal with this Trump-loving dynasty forever.
In some ways, I would say that. And in fact, what I would say is, after the Giants beat the Patriots twice, I feel like there was a bit of a letdown. There was a feeling of like, okay, we've slayed the giant. Who's going to rise up? Who's going to be the new... What's that?
Sorry, the Giants slayed them.
The Giants slayed them, sure. But twice. And suddenly the Patriots were 3-2 in the Super Bowl, or the Brady Patriots were...
Killer
they were
Giants.
Vulnerable.
Giant killers. That's my headline for the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
Okay.
Oh, man. Really watch out, New York Post.
Then, no one else rose to the top. Don't you think it's been great for America that the Patriots then won two more Super Bowls since then? Because it gives them something to actually care about and feel about. If that had been the Cincinnati Bengals or the, you know, even the Steelers or the Bills, no one would have cared. No one would have been feeling the feelings that they feel for the Patriots.
That's like saying Trump should stay president for the next 16 years so that the resistance can stay animated and enjoy opposing him.
Fortunately, whether the Patriots win or not doesn't have consequences for like the average American's life and bank account, and for like there's no policy that Tom Brady is actually enacting. At the end of the day, it is just a football game. Now, yes, does it suck that Brady and Belichick and Kraft are all basically Trump sympathizers, or probably voted for them, or for some reason wrote him a letter that said that I love
really,
you.
The media has been discriminating.
Yes. All those things are awful, but
that happened.
But let's also not forget that Philadelphia fans across the board are the notoriously worst fan base in sports. We've all heard the stories about booing Santa Claus and throwing batteries and all sorts of things. They don't deserve a championship. No one's actually rooting for Philadelphia to win. No one really cares about Nick Foles or no one's Nelson Aguilar. Like, why do we care whether he wins or loses? What we want is a sixth ring for Brady, because
nobody wants that.
I'll tell you this, is that it's always fun to have lived in the time when the greatest ever played. And right now, like, people generally agree that Brady is the best and the Patriots are whatever, the best dynasty of all time. But it's good for America. It's good as a country to be like, oh man, like this, we were all alive at a time when this NFL franchise dominated so completely that it was like, just the same way that it was good for America when Jordan won six rings. Aren't we glad now that that happened as a nation?
Well, it's already happened, right? I mean, I think the Patriots dynasty's already been around. We don't need to continue living through it. But I'm going to go back to something you said earlier, which is that, okay, compared to, say, who's in office, it doesn't matter to the average American. And I'm going to argue that it does matter to the average American who wins this game, because it goes way beyond football. You said earlier the Patriots' motto, do your job. That is what this team stands for.
That's right.
No distractions, only football, militaristic culture. And yeah, our owner, he supports Trump. And yeah, Trump said we're all, you know, called us a bunch of potentially offensive things. And, you know, that was kind of cruddy, but it's football. And that's all we care about. And do your job. And people, you know, who say that NFL players should stay in their place and should engage in social issues, the Patriots prove them right, because they don't engage and they do their job. And yeah, they have, you know, these political ties that are kind of questionable, but they're not going to answer questions about that. On the other hand, you have the Philadelphia Eagles. Two of the most outspoken player protesters in the NFL, Malcolm Jenkins and Chris Long, have been incredibly involved in social activism, have bridged gaps between owners and players, have been just all around awesome, wonderful guys. Last week, after they, as underdogs, won the NFC Championship, the first thing Chris Long said is, "We showed you can be great on the field and be a human being off of it, who engages with these issues, who cares about these things. That is what this team stands for." Now, who do you think it's better for if the Eagles win? Well, don't you think it's better for America?
I think that it's to me that I agree 100% with what you're saying, that in a perfect world, our players who have this pulpit and a certain level of celebrity, it would be better if they were both activists and spoke their minds and were political and also did their job on the field. But that comes down to who the actual players are, and there's no better case of that than Chris Long himself, who used to play for the Patriots and whose profile was raised by being on a Super Bowl team. So he's already played for the Patriots. We didn't root against him when he played for the Patriots because he was on the Patriots. We liked what he said when he was on the Patriots, and do I wish that Colin Kaepernick were the quarterback of the Patriots and could you know, get a ring and lead them to a 6th Super Bowl? Yeah, that would be amazing. But I don't think the fact that Tom Brady is their quarterback takes away from the idea that you can, you know, still be politically active. And Chris Long proves that. He used to be on the Patriots. Hey. It's not like when you're on the Patriots, you're not allowed to be... Oh, we have a... This is interesting.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Healy.
Get in here.
That's
Come
a
on.
Bell that Dave's mom sent us as a Christmas present. She asked us to ring that, me and Dan Medina, the moderator, if Dave... We ever think Dave is getting too upset. And I felt like maybe...
It was time to ring the bell.
Did I upset you?
No,
it's my fault.
I feel you're upset because you know I'm right.
On some level, I guess I'm not sure that you're right, but I do wish that the Patriots were more on the right side of history. Yeah. Let's put it that way. And by the way, everything Healy's saying about the bell is true. Or that my mom, I was home for the holidays. She said, give this to Healy and Medina. This is a bell to ring when I get too upset. She doesn't like it when I get too upset on the podcast. And I actually think that it will only serve me well tactically, because when I get too upset, I feel like I lose the rational
side.
Yeah,
but your voice is kind of like, I can see your heartbeat
exactly.
lowering.
She's like your mom. She's looking out for you.
Getting new arguments are forming in your brain rationally and slowly.
That's right.
I'll just say one final thing. I think there's probably people who believe good and bad things on both teams, like any organization in the NFL.
Yeah.
It does seem very evident to me, however, that one of these organizations has created a culture where there's more freedom of expression, there's more willingness to engage with complicated ideas, especially ideas that are extremely important to this country right now. And that's why I think it would probably be better for America if that team, which is clearly Philadelphia, won.
My final argument here is basically that I believe in like the big bad wolf being healthy for a rooting cause. And I'll add this as a final point. I don't think that a football team winning will actually translate to any progress on the quote-unquote right side. So even if the players on the Eagles are by and large more outspoken or more politically active, I don't believe that that team winning the Super Bowl will create any real change. There will still be media day where they get to say whatever they want at the Super Bowl. If anything, they might be more charged for the rest of their lives because they never won the Super Bowl.
Because they lost, they're more likely to become civil rights leaders.
That is
what you're arguing.
Yeah. Well, it's part of my argument, yes.
Medeans, what do you think of that debate?
You know, Dave, I think you did your best with a very difficult topic.
Super
you did
hard.
Your job.
Super hard.
I did my job.
A pretty
it's
good job.
Not
you did
easy.
Your job.
Pro Patriots.
Can I throw something out there? I kind of think that the Patriots' domination... If you're average American, you're not a Patriots fan. The experience of seeing the Patriots is probably somewhat akin to being a foreigner and looking at America. Like this gang of like militaristic, brutal, constantly successful, dark, marching away, winning every time, spoiled brats. It gives you a sense of what somebody in like, you know, Ecuador probably thinks of the USA.
Wow.
Maybe.
So in that sense, the Patriots winning could give American people like the feeling of being a foreign citizen looking at America.
And in that sense, it's good for us.
Yes, levels. Healthy.
Levels.
I think you just leveled the room with that.
You know what I left on the table is that Tom Brady himself is the father of first generation Americans. He married an immigrant.
Chain migration.
And he is a multiracial family.
Yes.
Part of a multiracial family. How did I let that sit there?
One would think that would have led him to disavow his ties to our very anti-immigrant world leader. But
one would
we call them multiracial?
Oh, that's a good question.
She's a descendant of German immigrants.
You're right. You're right. Okay, you're right. I hadn't thought of that.
Do you know the term chain migration came from the moving the chains, like, and it's kind of slipping a little bit on each down?
Wow. There's like, a football connection.
I have a little game that I thought might be fun to play between debates.
Great. Let's do it.
You guys know we play a game called Tough Impressions.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't.
And we play a game called Presidential Challenge. And we play a game called Tough Characters. Right? Something like that.
Oh, yeah.
This game is called the Bill Belichick Tough Impression Presidential Challenge. So here's what's going to happen. Dave and Mina are each going to have a chance to play President Bill Belichick,
okay,
answering a question from the press at a press conference. Mm-hmm. So you need to do an impression of Bill Belichick and express what you think his policies would be.
His policies? Mm-hmm.
Wow, okay.
So Dave, you're going to go first.
Okay.
Mr. President?
Yeah.
The United States has been selling weapons to Saudi Arabia and supporting, in auxiliary ways, Saudi Arabia's war on Yemen, which has killed thousands of civilians and created a human rights disaster. What do you think America's role in bringing peace to the Middle East should be, and how do you justify America's policy towards Saudi Arabia?
We already handled questions about Saudi Arabia at the defense press conference that was held earlier, and I'm going to go ahead and defer all questions related to our policies vis-a-vis the Saudi Arabians to the Pentagon.
Very good.
That was
very
really
nice,
good.
Very nice. Okay.
Very strong. Really
good. Mina, are you ready to play President Bill Belichick?
Yep, I'm ready.
Mr. President, as you know, we're going to have some kind of deal on immigration. The Dreamers are up for grabs. There's some discussion of border security. What would you like to see in a bipartisan bill that is going to come to your desk on the issue of immigration?
You know, you really can't underestimate the Dreamers. I mean, there's like a third string. It's like a third string punter on the Dreamers. He's really good. But I write this last week. It's on to the DACA. It's on to the wall. It's on to the trade agreement. It's on to TPP. That's last week.
Guys, phenomenal. Great job.
Well
with
done.
A very challenging game.
Healy, don't you want to play?
Oh, sure, I'll play if you want to.
Mr. President. Dave King from The Great Debates.
All right. How'd you get credentials?
Sorry?
How'd you get credentials?
Trick question.
I said no podcast.
How did we get credentials to the Republican National Convention? That actually happened.
Yeah, we asked.
That was crazy.
It was really easy.
They let us in.
Just let you.
I need to think of a question for you. I forgot.
All right, well, come prepared.
Mr. President, next, people have been accusing you lately of being in favor of a weak dollar. Some people are saying that the language you're using at the Davos, whatever situation.
It's Davos.
Yeah. It's Davos.
Oh, yeah.
Implies that in some ways you think that we'd be better off if the dollar were weak. Do you care to clarify your comments?
I've answered that already. A weaker dollar is good for trade. It's good for American business. Bring jobs here. So that's all I'm going to say about it.
That's a very direct answer from President Belichick.
Wow.
Wow. Rare statement of fact.
I'm boom. That was very good. Guys, let's get back to debate.
We didn't come here to do Bill Belichick.
No, but it was great. It was great.
I guess
everybody did a good job.
Just a little bonus.
Okay. I want to get Healy.
That's like the Andes melted on your brain.
And Kimes in the ring together, if that's cool.
All right. I'm afraid.
Oh, wait. No.
No, I think I'll take the count.
I want to get Keely and King back in the ring.
Mina and King.
King and Kimes.
Okay. And
Davos, by the way, is a Dave King fan festival. That's different from...
Did you just call it Davos because your name is Dave?
Yeah, I just panicked, and I guess I did. Yeah.
You're like, well, I mean, I just am trying to retrace that through your brain, and it's my name is Dave, and it's D-A-V. And
the game theory, I think, would be that's the least wrong. I mean, that's the least bad wrong answer.
Sure.
Because if it was wrong that it was Davos, and you said, at least you have the excuse that it's your name.
Right.
Follow up, have you ever thought about having a theme party called Davos?
Very good.
Oh, that's a great idea. Where, like, I only invite my wealthy elite friends.
Your globalists.
My two wealthy elite friends, and everyone else has to stay home.
Speaking of friends, I've got a debate topic.
Oh.
Mina's going to take the pro against Dave.
Yeah.
What is it?
And that topic is the Super Bowl is best watched alone and not with friends.
This seems extremely obvious to me.
It does?
So, okay.
Okay.
All right. So, I have to admit, I'm speaking from my own perspective here, so perhaps this is not the universally correct answer. I think it's the universally correct answer, however, people who give a shit about football during the regular season, which is, I'll tell a little story. A couple of years ago, I was watching, or maybe it was a few years ago, it was the Niners-Ravens Super Bowl. With some friends. I wasn't working in sports at the time, but I was already a very obsessive NFL fan. And I remember a friend, acquaintance of mine, bringing his girlfriend. And as I'm telling the story, I realize it sounds really sexist and I regret starting it. But there's an important point, which is she spent the whole time not only asking questions about the game, but screaming unfounded opinions. Now, I know that that's literally what we do here.
Sure.
But if you pay attention to the entire regular season and then have a Super Bowl party where you're surrounded by just miscellaneous people who don't care about football, suddenly they show up and they're just dropping takes right, left, right, left, right, left. You want to punch them in the face. And it got to the point where I had to leave this party. I remember very clearly because I was so tired of this woman yelling out her opinions because they were so ignorant and unfounded that I had to go. Thus, I resolved never again to be in a social situation where I would be exposed to people watching the Super Bowl who didn't actually care about football.
Are you going to be exposed to bad takes? Yeah, maybe. Are you going to be a little annoyed by your friend's girlfriend or your friend's boyfriend who doesn't know anything about football and thinks, maybe for some reason, thinks that the game is over when the Falcons are up 28-3, when in fact, we all know that the Patriots have a great chance of coming back to win because they're the Patriots? Yeah, you might get a little annoyed. But what's the fun of watching at home alone? No one hears you when you're cheering. No one's there to share with you in the fun. The Super Bowl is such a great experience for enjoying with friends for so many reasons. One of them, squares. It's fun to bet on the game. It squares are a way that anyone, you don't need to know anything about football, and you could put $1, you could put $100 on each square. Winner goes home with some money. People have a rooting interest in a way that they didn't before they got there. The food, everyone brings some food. You talk about the food, you eat the food. If you're sitting alone at home alone, what are you gonna postmate something or cook something? What's the fun in that? What are you gonna eat? Sitting alone at home, you're gonna be checking Twitter. There's gonna be FOMO. You're gonna see all the people, all the pictures, and the fun that people are having. You're gonna wish you were somewhere. If you're really that much of a, I hate to say, control freak, where you don't want people showing up and saying certain things, host the party yourself. Set the guest list. I used to be super passionate about the Boston Red Sox. I had friends of friends show up wearing New York Yankees uniforms in 2003. I said, boys, get the fuck out of my apartment. You're not allowed to watch the game here. It's the playoffs. I can't have it. We've got a bunch of Red Sox fans and you're ruining the mood. I'm sorry. Go watch the game somewhere else. We happen to be in New York. It wasn't like there wasn't a place for them to go watch the game. The reason we root for teams is because we enjoy it with other people. What's the fun of watching a game home? I think so. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the very reason that teams have geographical representation and aren't just called, they're called the New England Patriots and not just the Patriots is because they have a collective rooting interest. People from the region or people who have an association with the region tend to root for that team.
If I could go to a mythical Super Bowl party where it was only fellow Seahawks fans, and I could control the environment, and it was only the food I want to eat, and there was no ignorant people, no annoying opinions, none of that, that would be great. But that world doesn't exist because every Super Bowl party I've ever been to in my 32 years of existing, yes, as a baby, I used to go to Super Bowl parties, there were always people I didn't want to see, interlopers. And that's the problem. The regular season, I watch all the time with other people. And I agree. Part of being a sports fan is very fun to high five and what you guys do thump chests or whatever. And
constant and chest thumping.
Pump your fist and yell. And that's great. But that's not what Super Bowl parties are. Super Bowl parties are for dilettantes. They're for the people who don't care about football 99% of the year and then suddenly show up and they're like, I just want to watch the commercials. Where's Justin Timberlake? Again, I feel so sexist. Why am I doing a woman's voice?
Where's Justin Timberlake's new album supposed to be bomb?
Or like, okay, my friend's, you know, boyfriend who's like,
that guy? He's cute.
Okay.
Hey, did you know like this very obvious thing about football?
Sure.
So like, I don't want that experience. I don't want these casual fans intruding on my experience. And yes, I love being able to share my takes. I love being able to share jokes. But Twitter has cured that for me. I can now go to the internet and there are better jokes and there are better takes and I like them more than my real friends.
Since we are drawing from real world experience, and I will tell you that last year, and this relates to what we were talking about earlier with the Patriots. Last year, if you remember, was like right after Trump was inaugurated. Mm. It was a very dicey time to be a Patriots fan. Patriots fans that I knew felt conflicted about it. And I was able to, I think part of the problem here, I guess, sorry to take a step back, is that like you don't have to go to a Super Bowl party. You could just be with friends. I sent out an email to people where I was like, look, here's the deal. I'm going to watch the Super Bowl at my house. I'm rooting for the Patriots. I know it doesn't look great to be a Patriots fan for political reasons right now. But if you still like the Patriots and want to come out, it's going to be a chill thing. We're not going to go crazy. I'm not bringing in whatever, a bouncy castle for the kids and all that. I'm just watching
like a standard Super Bowl party.
Just your standard. Mm. So we had maybe 10 people here. They all were rooting for the Patriots, but not in an obnoxious way. It was great. And they came back to win 23, and I was with people who cared about it. And by the way, like if you're at a Super Bowl party where there's like a large number of people, then I would think there's enough physical space where you can hopefully separate yourself and you can get closer to the TV. You can hang out with people who have a more savvy understanding of the game of football. I mean, like, if you really need to watch the game, also, like, you're a big Seahawks fan. Mm-hmm. You can't find enough Seahawks fans. There's Seahawks-friendly places to watch. Like,
I feel like we are agreeing on the basic annoyances and things we don't like about casual sports fans.
Yeah.
I, however, in my personal experience, have had those people intrude on every Super Bowl experience I've had my entire life. Because for some reason, when the Super Bowl rolls around, people who don't care
it's
about football
event. I get
all
it.
Throughout the year, something like, hey, like, Mina likes football. Gosh, what are you doing? I'm so sexist. I'm so sexist. I did the Valley Girl voice. Why?
Hey, Mina likes football. We should just call her. Like, maybe.
Right.
I can't even do it. It should be a woman's voice.
I get it. But the joy of being there with like the two or three of your best friends who have rooted for the Seahawks your whole life, that should outweigh the annoyance of...
I would love it if that happened.
Okay. That's my final statement, is that maybe basically like, I don't know, sounds like you need to choose better friends.
Ooh. Or set more guidelines. But unfortunately, every year, these casual Joes, not Sally's, keep showing up.
Casual Josephines.
Casual Joes.
Medines.
I think I got to go with King on this one.
Wow.
Who took the con. Thank
you. The antisocial argument doesn't...
It's hard. It's a very difficult argument.
I've had
some
bad experiences, but
it sounds like
it would be nice to have a great Super Bowl.
Can I throw out a little point I didn't hear? It was a not obvious point. I myself am really getting into lately the pleasurable annoyance.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoying the person asking the dumb questions. Mm-hmm. Like, I seek out on the internet like grating kinds of takes, and I kind of find it stimulates the blood, you know, a little bit like having a turmeric ginger shot or something, you know?
Like,
I feel like it's healthy.
You're seeking out bad takes because it makes you feel alive.
It makes me, exactly right. Life exists on the edge of that good, bad take, and I love that. And so the person who's there is like, I just want to watch the commercials. That wasn't a girl I was doing. It was a very feminine.
It sounded like a girl.
It was a very feminine guy.
Sorry.
Right.
But I kind of feel like that adds to it's spice in the sauce of your Super Bowl salsa.
I work in sports television, so we literally exist on the premise, the idea that people watch TV to get annoyed. So I hope you're right.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, dudes, Who's ready for this, some football? Is that what the... Are you ready for some football?
Who's ready for some football?
Who's ready for some football?
Which of you dudes are ready for football?
Which dudes only are ready for football?
I'm ready for some football. I love watching the Super Bowl with a small group, with a large group, whatever. I think the drama of the game, if it's a good game, is... It doesn't matter if I haven't watched a single game of football all year. Football's an excellent, like, very well-televised, very well-directed show and sport. Then you have the commercials to add into that. If you, hopefully you've got like a Lady Gaga or a Bruno Mars or someone like that to really tie it all together.
Dude, I think JT it's a fun is here,
yeah. I think he's gonna be great.
No, you're concerned?
No, yeah, I'm not excited.
He's gonna be great.
Do we think Janet Jackson makes a cameo? Yes or no?
Oh, I'd love that. Maybe on a video or something.
On a video?
They're going to risk having her physical presence there.
That whole thing is so fraught, right? The whole history of it and how she got thrown under the bus. Here's the reason why, and tell me if you agree that I'm not excited about JT. He hasn't had a good song in like 5 years.
I know, right.
That's a reasonable argument,
new album,
right?
I haven't heard the new anything
else.
I haven't heard the album, but it doesn't feel like he's peaking right at this point.
No, he's not peaking, nor is he the elder statesman coming back for the greatest.
He's in his medium period. That's not when you want somebody.
He was the king of pop for a while.
He really was.
He had great Crimea River. I mean,
hey, prove me wrong.
Shit.
I'd love to see him prove me wrong.
I saw him once. Like this front row, man, at the Staples Center. It was so good. I'm just hoping that it'll be good like that.
I would not have pictured Medina front row.
It happened. I went with some friends. It was the best. And on that note, I'm going to take us out of here, guys. Mina, thank you so much for joining us again this year, and thank you for all your hot takes.
Where can people find you if they need more Mina pre-Super Bowl?
Pre-Super Bowl.
Yeah. In the next week, people are going to be hungry for more Mina.
Yeah, are you going to be tweeting?
I have a Super Bowl preview. Hardcore, chalk talk, X's and O's.
Love.
Just kidding. It's all Etch-A-Sketches coming out this week.
Oh, great.
How did this town... Mina is an incredible Etch-A-Sketch artist for people who think she's joking. But how did that evolve? Like, you just discovered that you could do that?
Yeah, I was really into it as a kid, and then my dad got me one as a present a few years ago, and I would just do it while I was watching games, and I don't know, I just kind of have a facility with it, I guess. It's the narrowest of lanes imaginable, and the competition is non-existent, so it's a pretty easy space to own.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's cool.
Thanks.
Okay, guys, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week on The Great Debates.
Last breakfast table in an otherwise empty room.
The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.
Whoa, guys, there's more.
What?
Whoa. I hope you didn't shut off your podcast because we got a little bonus track here.
This is like a 90s hidden track on
exactly
the CD.
Right,
like the Nirvana record.
This is a little bonus. Keep the CD playing. There's a little something extra. This is not going to our SiriusXM listeners. This is only going to our podcast fans.
What a treat.
And it's something so hot, I can't even believe it. But we've got Mina Kimes here, and we're going to talk about the top five hottest QBs in the NFL. Mina, you said... Name me the top five hottest QBs in the NFL, and I'll tell you if you're wrong.
Yeah, so
and Dave
should you
is
go
ready to take
first?
On the challenge.
How should we do this?
Yeah.
So Dave's going to make his picks.
I have a list literally on my phone that's stored in my phone, by the way. And it's 10, but we can do 5.
This isn't a debate exactly, but it's a competitive listing, argumentative listing.
Well, so we haven't even discussed this. Should it be like a draft where I go one and then you go one, and we try to see who gets the most of her top five?
I'm sitting this one out.
Oh, okay.
You start naming, and Mina will
give it to me.
Okay. Let's start with the obvious.
The goal is to get a canonical list.
One down or five up?
Oh, interesting.
Start with number five.
I was just trying to hit anywhere on the top five. All right, I'll start with number five. I'll start with my number five.
Give us your top five.
Mm-hmm.
I've got an order here.
Oh.
My number five, is Philip Rivers.
No. What? This is already insanity.
Why? I think he's cute.
Madness.
Why?
Madness.
What's wrong with Philip Rivers? What did I do wrong?
I mean, he looks like someone took a piece of dough, pinched a little nose, put in two little black beans, and then had it made it make very gif-able faces.
Interesting.
Like, sounds appealing.
That is, it's interesting because this is my small nose bias coming through. Any guy who's got a small nose, I'm just envious of. Yeah. I think that that's automatically cool. He looks like he's got a nice smile. He's got a golly gee kind of attitude about him, which I like.
He's got a golly gee thing in a big way.
Golly gee thing.
All right.
He looks like the gym teacher who, like, nobody likes because he yells a lot at all the kids.
So, wait, people say this about him, that he is, like, he's, like, the worst trash talker, right? But he doesn't curse. Is that true?
I don't know about the not cursing, but yeah, he is. I mean, most white quarterbacks are terrible
so
trash talkers.
Yeah.
Is that what he says?
Yeah. He says, like, dadgum and stuff like that, from what I've heard.
Dadgum loser?
Okay, all right, that's fine.
Yeah, he's not even in my top 10, by the way.
He's got a dreamboat quality, for sure.
He's not strong even in your top 10.
What are you looking at?
Okay, I'm going to go my number 4 pick is Sam Bradford.
What?
No?
What?
Wow. 0-2?
This list is madness.
Why? He's so good looking.
Wait,
that guy
what?
Is amazing. If I looked like Sam Bradford, I feel like I would have so much confidence in life. I don't know.
This one is throwing me.
Me too. Look at the picture.
Is this because you think you have a shot at looking like Sam Bradford?
Doesn't he look cross-eyed to you?
Absolutely.
Yep, there he is, cross-eyed. Thank you.
He looks like you don't want this guy as your lab partner.
No, wait, that's not Sam Bradford.
That is Sam Bradford. Do you even know what Sam Bradford looks like? That's Sam Bradford. You had him up. Yeah.
Wow, I pictured him with like a darker complexion than what I'm seeing.
Are you thinking of Marcus Mariota, perhaps?
No.
He looks like a guy who hangs out at the grocery store and always talks about how he's going to join the Navy SEALs.
Man, you know what?
He looks like your friend's little brother who comes back from college, and you're still in high school, and you're like, maybe he's hot now? And you're like, no, he's not hot.
The image I had of Sam Bradford in my head is very different.
You made a mistake. Keep moving.
It's okay.
Maybe I was thinking, boy, I don't know. That's embarrassing.
Okay.
It's okay. He's been around the league a long
time. We're learning a lot.
All right. He has to be on here, Russell Wilson.
He's 5 for me.
Okay. So there's some agreement there.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson, to me, he's cute. He's handsome. He's like got a masculine energy, but he's non-threatening.
Sleepy eyes.
He's cute.
Sleepy
eyes. He's got cool hair. He's got some fashion sense. I'm into it.
Now, wasn't there something where he's not having sex before marriage or
something?
Well,
he's now remarried Ciara.
Okay.
So ostensibly they're remarried. Well, it's his second marriage. It's both their second marriages. I think.
So in between marriages, he was keeping it.
Interesting.
I think that was the premise. Yes.
That's the rule.
That was what was said.
That's what you're supposed to do.
They had a kid recently, so I don't know why I said ostensibly. They definitely did it.
So she was his first wife was just some other lady,
like a high school sweetheart.
And then he was like, "Keep it in my pants. I messed up."
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I assume our top two are the same.
No, they're not.
They're not? My number 2 is number 12, Tom Brady.
He's 3 for me.
Number 2.
Wow.
Interesting. Okay, cool. So let's talk about the pros with Tom are obvious. I guess I got to know who your number 2 is.
3 is huge. Three is nothing to be ashamed about.
Bronze.
There's great honor in making the top 3 hottest quarterbacks.
All right, I'll give you my number 1 and then maybe I'll take a couple stabs at who might.
I think we're in agreement on 1.
It's Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I mean, it's undeniable.
The guy is gorgeous.
It's outrageous.
Tom Brady was the gold standard to me, and then this guy comes along. It's like, what were we thinking when we thought Tom Brady was hot?
I know, right? We're like, how could we have been so foolish all along? I had a friend recently who saw Jimmy Garoppolo at a hotel in Santa Monica and didn't know football and thought he was a male model.
Of course.
And then somebody else was like, no, actually, that's the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers.
Unreal.
He's kind of strained looking
in a funny and exaggerated way.
Strained?
Like Superman, kind of?
Yeah, kind of just like someone tried to make a guy good looking, but they put like a little bit too much of the formula in. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with that.
They overdosed on eyebrow sauce or whatever.
You were saying before the podcast that Jimmy Garoppolo you think is in the sweet spot of?
Oh yeah. So I was saying that Sean McVay, the coach of the LA Rams.
Yes.
Many guys I know are always talking about how hot he is, and I'm like,
there was a serious point here to get at the differences between men and women's sense of
attraction. Right.
Yes. Yeah. So what I said was, I don't think he's hot. None of the women I know. He's also younger than me, which is crazy. And
Sean McVay is what?
31. Yeah.
And he's got, people can call up a picture of him, but he's got the like ruddy stubble. Yes. And then he's got that the sort of trendy haircut. Faux-hawk. Yeah, yeah.
He looks like a Beckham baby, buff. Yeah. He looks kind of like a CrossFit instructor to me.
Sure.
So anyways, he, I said, is the kind of guy that guys think women think is hot, right? And then so I put up my fingers and made a Venn diagram, and then I poked my finger through the middle in a manner that now seems very sexual, and I said, that's Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's Jimmy Garoppolo.
I poked it and poked
that's
it and
Jimmy
poked
G.
it. It's undeniable that he's number one. I can give you my whole top 10, or do you want the top 5?
Let's work your way from, let's start at number 10, because I want to, let's go through those maybe kind of quickly. We'll hear what you
got. All right. 10 is Mariota.
Okay. Mariota is a handsome, I get that. He's handsome, he's cute. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
9 is Carson Wentz. He's kind of grown on me since the Prince Harry comparisons came to light.
I don't see that. I don't get it.
Look, 9 isn't that high.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Are you limiting this to just starting quarterbacks?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
Backups is Sanchez climbs to.
Yeah. Yeah. Is right he still on a roster?
Yeah. I think Cowboys was the last roster, but that might be wrong.
Yeah. He's hot.
8, Tyrod Taylor. Great smile.
Interesting. I got to look at Tyrod Taylor, Bills quarterback. Right?
Oh, I like Tyrod Taylor.
Google it up.
Yeah. He's fun.
7, Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I feel like if he weren't a quarterback, would just be an average person.
So, like, I have been around him a bit, and he looks like a just like more athletic, good looking version of someone we would know.
Okay.
Kind of. I think is kind of what you're getting at. Like, he doesn't look like exude professional athlete. He's not like, he's like 6'2", maybe.
Yeah. But you're drawn to him. There's something a little magnetic going on there.
Do you think he could be Tony Robbins' kid brother a little bit?
Oh, interesting. Mm. He has super soulful eyes, like huge, like almost mournful, doleful.
Yes. There is something a little wounded about him.
There's some
him.
Sadness there for sure. Yeah, you'd like to help him.
All right, 6, Jared Goff, bootleg, Ryan Gosling.
Jared Goff.
What if Ryan Gosling was like 40% less hot? It's Jared Goff.
It's interesting, Mina, because you certainly don't have a type here, which it's impressive in a way. We're all over the sort of physical map, and I like it.
Jared Goff looks a little like Ken from Mad
Men. He really does. Yeah.
He really
does.
I don't know if that's good
like
or bad.
I like Ken from Mad Men.
Yeah. Ken was handsome.
But I feel like he's handsome in not a leading man kind of way.
Uh-huh. Sure.
No, yeah. That's why he's outside the top 5.
Yeah.
All
okay.
Right.
Cool.
Top 5.
Here we go.
Wilson.
Yeah. Russell Wilson, number 5.
Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott.
Great smile. Just huge presence. Very charismatic in real life.
Uh-huh.
That's 4.
Yeah, I could see that. Oh, okay. This guy's great.
Yeah. Really friendly looking, like warm, welcoming.
What's not thinking?
You want to be around him.
Have a beer.
I'm buying on Dak.
He looks like a linebacker, too, in real life. Just like
he looks
super
like
muscular.
He knows how to get his picture taken as well.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, just a great guy. Natural leader.
I thought his real name was Dak, and now I'm just learning.
It's Dakota.
Well, yeah. It's actually Rain Dakota.
Rain
right?
Dakota.
Yeah,
cool. All right, 3, okay. Brady.
Yeah,
as I told you.
And wait, number two
is the mystery.
This is crazy. This is the one name
I cannot believe you didn't think of this person. Cam Newton.
Oh. Okay. So I
Cam
was afraid
Newton.
Of this. I was afraid of this.
Everyone was afraid
Have
of Cam Newton.
Have you seen him smile?
Yeah.
He's a beautiful man.
I don't know what it is. If maybe I just...
It's the sourpuss-ness. It's the sort of loser-ish.
I'm being objective in judging purely based on looks here. It's not who would I want to marry, who do I like being around. Mina's Hot QB List is the title of this IMDb.
You ain't lying.
So great.
Wow, Cam Newton, number 2. He's number 2, right?
He is number 2 on my list.
That's his jersey number, right?
He's number 2. I won, actually.
So I was wrong about that.
I'm going to say Cam Newton's fashion sense brings him down a little.
Yeah, problematic. A little trying too hard. Trying too hard.
Ridiculous choices and all.
He does his crazy hats and stuff. Look, I'm literally just smile, face, bod, hair, skin tone, like complexion, physique.
Well, I mean...
That was super fun.
Let's close it. Before we close out, could you Do you see a correlation? Do you think coaches should take this into consideration at the draft?
This is like super Moneyball, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The idea that, because they totally do,
yeah,
is the crazy thing. Yeah, I really think being ugly probably punishes you.
Right.
And as I'm looking at this list, the five quarterbacks, they're like all really good.
They're all very good.
The hottest QBs. Mm. In fact, many of my top 10 are like pretty good.
I dread, and I do not want there to be a list of the bottom five, but would they be, they wouldn't be as good. At football.
Well,
Mina doesn't want to talk about who's ugly, but I'll say...
Who does?
Look, Ben Roethlisberger, to me, is like a hideous, mythical beastie. Mm. And he's a good. Pretty good quarterback.
That's a good point.
And both Manning brothers are sort of...
Uh-huh.
Is there a chip on the shoulder?
Oh, good one, too.
There.
Good point, yeah.
They have a weird sort of... They look dumb, for lack of a better...
Huge foreheads. Nicer,
huge foreheads or something a little... Mm-hmm.
Not fully baked.
You know, and they're both excellent quarterbacks.
Just like a little melty.
Yeah.
The voices are a little melty.
They were in the oven not the right amount of time.
Yeah. Philip Rivers' face wasn't in the oven long enough, and their faces were in there too long, actually.
I feel bad talking about that a little bit.
Why?
Because I feel bad talking about how ugly different people are. I don't think that's good.
Using the phrase "melty."
These people chose to be in a public sport. They chose to be football players. They know that people on podcasts are going to talk about how handsome they are. It's the risk you run.
Yeah.
And sorry, Big Ben, who's also seems like is a horrible person.
Now,
on top of
it could be valuable for you to sell to coaches like a scouting report that's a woman's perspective on the handsomeness, because they're like coming from their guy brain,
right?
Well,
but it could be more. That could be more for like the owners.
Yes,
is this guy going to put butts in the seats? Is he going to be?
Does he have it from a female perspective?
Will his butt put the butts in? I perhaps there's some kind of analytic to be, some kind of metric to be developed based on QB hotness.
The Kimes meter.
Here's the interesting question: is do the Sean McVays of the world, the men who men disproportionately think are attractive? Do they lead? Are they better quarterbacks than, I don't know, I guess Cam Newton's, or I don't know who are the men who women think are disproportionately?
I think invariably those guys are going to be overrated in their talent as well as in their.
Yes. Also, my top five all, they hit right in the middle of that Venn diagram there, because men and women think they're hot.
Where do you stand on Bortles, attractiveness wise?
Like, okay, picture Ben Roethlisberger, and then take the Photoshop thing where you blur it for a little bit and make the skin smoother. Are you starting to see Blake Bortles?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, just just normalized Roethlisberger a little
bit. 20% less offensive than Roethlisberger.
That checks out. Okay, good.
Medeans, what do you think of the discussion?
I enjoyed it very, very much. I think that out there is like a... It's not a hot or not website, but it's like it's a very simple place where you can go to vote, and then we see like how everyone's vote correlates with stats, and it creates a metric known as the Kimes algorithm.
I don't want to own this algorithm. You guys keep calling it.
Should this be a Hall of Fame? Well, factor.
I was going to ask if you have, do you have any like hottest quarterbacks in history?
Oh my God. Mm. Wow.
Or hottest players?
Oh, I mean, a lot of the great quarterbacks throughout history are pretty hot. A lot of the Hall of Famers, too, like Randy Moss. We were just talking about who should be in the Hall of Fame.
Randy Moss had something. He had something.
My colleague.
Straight cash homie.
On appearance, I don't think that much of Elway, and I got in trouble for saying this at a recent football game.
Craggy. He's craggy.
That's craggy. My feeling as well.
A lot of those Rocky older white gentlemen are craggy.
Rocky Mountain
he's
look,
kind of a good Rocky Mountain guy.
Young Joe Namath. Are we into it or not?
Okay. Interesting.
I believe the word ugly hot was coined to describe people like Joe Namath.
Where that's
you're like,
cool.
No. But yes.
But yes.
Yeah.
But bring
what
it.
What about 80s Joe Montana? I mean, had a kind of a goofy, nosy face.
Kind of the dad next door hot.
Yeah, not for
feathered
me.
Hair that was very popular at
I
that
thought
time.
Steve Young was cute back
Steve
in the day.
There you go.
Steve Young is a good looking dude.
If we're talking greats.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Good stuff.
Well, this has been really productive.
I enjoyed it very, very much.
We hope, if nothing else, we hope this podcast helped. We hope it helped you in your journey to discuss
to waste
and evaluate
1 hour of
the
your time.
Appearance of quarterbacks.
Okay, guys, thanks for staying tuned. We'll see you next week.